faith. Great results. We're saved by faith. Again, remember, the saving power of faith is not faith in itself, but in Jesus Christ. So faith in Christ saves. Our salvation, past, present, and future, depends on faith. Again, accepting Jesus. Remember from John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name." So our justification, Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," you're considered sinless by faith once you come to Christ. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, it's just as if you'd never sinned. Our adoption, Galatians 3:26, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Look at, if you're born again, you've been adopted into the family. God has lots of offspring, but he has less children. You need to be born again. You need to be adopted. You need to be chosen, but you choose to be chosen. That's the way I look at it, right? It's by adoption. "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Our sanctification, Acts 26:18. Paul speaking, I love this verse. He's talking of himself and his mission, his calling to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. This is your sanctification. It's an ongoing process, becoming more holy, being set apart, "and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So he's talking about being separate, set apart, holy, becoming more like Jesus. It grows with your faith, our keeping of our faith. 1 Peter 1:5, speaking of us, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So indeed, our whole salvation from start to finish depends on faith. Go over this again, right here, this portion, and read the scriptures, okay? Go over that again until you really understand what I'm saying, because I'm kind of moving quick here. But in Job 13:15, I like this. Job, man, look it. Was there ever a guy whose faith was tested more than this guy? I don't know. Job's faith after such testing led Job to say in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he destroys me and kills me and grinds me to powder and, you know, reduces me to ash, I will maintain mine own ways before him." No matter what, is what Job is saying. No matter what. And he's still in the trial when he's saying this. So it's not afterward when he was delivered. It's not in chapter 42. It's chapter 13. Rest, peace, and assurance, joy. Isaiah 26:3. Here's one of my life verses. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Again, that perfect peace, your mind, your thoughts, your imagination, because he trusts in thee. It's because we trust in him. We have faith in him. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And be careful for nothing means quit worrying. Get Sunday's CD. Quit worrying. I listed everything that worry does for you, and then everything that worry doesn't do for you. Romans 5:1, we've read that before. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." God, I'm reading your word. Give me the faith to believe this. I know, okay, you've already given me the faith. Help me to exercise this faith in believing what I'm reading, because I want to get to know you through it. God will not say no to that heart. How can he? "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." if you act on your faith and you use your faith and you really believe, you do come into a rest. You don't have to worry. You can really trust him. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in what he did, who he is, what he said. Believe on his word. Believe on his mission, his cause, his work, his everything. 1 Peter 1, 8, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now we see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you really believe in him, this is you, isn't it? You don't see him, but you love him. You see him not, but you believe, and you can rejoice with joy. What is it? Because you're keeping your eyes focused on the eternal. Can you picture being with Jesus for eternity? Can you picture when you pass through that veil and you're standing in front of him, and he puts his arms around you? Think of that. Think of getting to that point. It's over. I've just entered into the total rest. I have nothing to be concerned about anymore. And I think when we get there, we're going to think of all the worry we did that was a waste of time, all the doubt, all the unbelieving, all the faith we didn't use. And I think we're going to get to a point where we're going to stand there in heaven and go, man, I could have done so much more. I could have, if I believed the way that I really could have. I think about these things a lot. Fact, faith, feeling. Think of it. That's God's order. Satan would like to put feeling first to confuse us. How many people come up to me and go, well, I feel, well, what does the word say? What is God telling you? Well, I had this feeling come over me, you know, and when I saw, no, you know what? Fact, faith, feeling. That's God's order. Satan wants to put us to put feeling first to confuse us. Follow God's order. The moment faith turns its back on fact and looks at feeling, we're in trouble. What's Proverbs 3:5 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, how many times do you trust your feelings? Well, I'm going to go against God here because I feel that. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means let him into your marriage. Let him into your house. Let him into your family. Let him onto the job site. Let him into every decision you make. What am I going to do now? Is Jesus going to come with me on this? You ever think of that? The Holy Spirit's in you. Where do you take him? Where do you lead him into? What does he have to look at? What does he have to put up with? Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Everything you're doing, does he fit in this equation? Can he come with me here? Can he do this with me? If you say no, then forget it. Jesus is truth. He is the Word. The Word is fact. It doesn't lie. Feed faith with facts, not with feeling. Read that over later on. Next thing, do exploits through faith. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34. You know, that whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is something that we need to look at a lot. And you know, you see imperfect people doing awesome things. Same people who we outlined in the Word as well as their failures. You know, I like that. All these people in the Bible are failures. Some people think that Jesus was a failure because he died. They don't get the part about him rising from the dead. No, he defeated death and sin and the devil. He's the champion, man. Hebrews 11:32, and what shall I say? More shall I say. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Wow, they did a lot of things. Sometime, do a study on David's mighty men. You know what they were initially? Losers. Castouts, wannabes. You know what? These guys got with David. They saw David's faith. David was their leader. They saw David's relationship with God. You know what these guys did? These losers. These guys who had nowhere to go. They ended up with David. They would fight and kill 300 men in battle. Jump into a pit on a snowy day and kill a lion. Jump out and kill a giant Egyptian guy. We complain about all these measly little things. When you look around and you look at real men, these men did some of the things that they did just through faith. Incredible things. And I'm not just saying acts of strength and valor and might and all that other stuff. Matthew 21:21. Jesus speaks, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Again, you know what? What is the mountain that's standing in front of you? Jesus doesn't say, go out and check me out here. Go down to the Alps, turn left, and talk to that mountain and make it move. Watch. And if you don't, you don't have faith. No. What he's really talking about is, what's the mountain in your life? What are you up against right now? You go up and you see your own personal Jericho, and you go up and you go, oh no. What do you need to exhibit faith in? What's the mountain against you? Is it a sin that you can't get rid of? Is it a habit, an addiction? Is it a problem? Is it a bill? Is it a person? It could be a lot of things. Are you using your faith to speak to the mountain, man? Go to the Lord and exhibit the faith. Let it be used. Use that seed of faith. But check out the awesome things done by the men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Jesus attributes unlimited power to faith, and the disciple by faith will be able to do greater things than his master, Jesus told us. Now everybody gets to that point and they're like, what is he talking about? What do you mean we'll be able to do greater things than Jesus did? You know what he means? In scope. He never left Israel. Look at what men have done with the gospel all over the world. That's greater than what he did, right? We've taken it to the whole world. The gospel's gone out to the whole world. He never left Israel. That's what he's talking about. Greater things than these you shall be able to do. Greater things than our master. And that's incredible power to the believer. So do we ask, what do I do? Or do we ask, how much can I believe? It's up to you. All things are possible to him that believes. Now we see the importance of faith. We're to live by it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's one thing to see it. It's another to believe it when you can't see it. We're saved by faith. Again, Ephesians 2:8-9. It's our shield against Satan. Ephesians 6:16 says, Listen to this. It's part of our armor. Above all, we have the armor, the helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit. Our feet can be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, our loins girt, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. But we take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What does that mean? That shield, you know, that Roman soldier, he held that shield up like this, and he had the sword in this hand, and he was blocking things. And that thing was soaked in oil and soaked in water so that the flaming darts and all that other stuff didn't do anything. And it was thick, and it was leather, and it probably had wood on the back, maybe even some metal, I don't know, whatever it took, to take that shield of faith. Your faith is going to shield off the attacks of the enemy. When he's attacking your weaknesses and he's casting doubts into your head, what are you doing? Listening? Or are you quoting scripture back? Go to Psalm 91. You can't harm me. God's here. I've got the shield of faith up, and I know what his word says. As a matter of fact, in the middle of this attack, I'm going right to the Bible, and I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to show you. I believe this. The enemy flees. We submit to God, and we resist Satan. He flees. Simple. So the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It never quits. Faith never quits. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as seen yet. You know what? Do you guys understand what Noah did? He built that tremendous ark. It took him about 120 years to do it. Do you know that that's about how long it took for God to get back to him? There was a long communication gap going on there. We think we go through moments of silence and wilderness. he's building this boat thinking, when am I going to hear from you again? You know, and all the people are ridiculing him. What's a boat? What's rain? What do you need a boat for? It's never rained before. Why do you want to go out? There's one ocean at that time. Why do you want to go out there? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things is not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. In Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Where would you be in that company? Joshua comes up and says, here's what we're going to do. And he lays out the plan. How many of us would go, okay, let's do it? Or how many of us would go, what are you, nuts? I'm serious. Do you ever sit down and think about this stuff? It took faith, didn't it? You know, and I'm sure there were people like us. Oh, it's a quarter after eight. Man, is he ever going to stop? No, you know what? Think of the people in that crowd. Oh, wow, what has he come up with now? Where did he get this plan? Think about that. But it gives us faith to overcome. Again, Hebrews 11:30, think of what happened at Jericho. When they just crossed the river, and the first thing they see is the biggest fortress, maybe to that time ever. It was immense. And God wants them not to go around it. He wants them to go through it. You know, think about that. And they're just the little Israelites. Think of the faith it took just to do that. God did the whole thing. You know, I mean, when you really think about it, they did nothing but believe. They did nothing but act upon their faith. And you know what? Archaeologists are saying that the walls didn't go like this inward. They went like this outward. They found the walls from their base going out. Think about that for a minute. I think all the angels were inside pushing out. So it gives us victory to overcome. And again, it's a victory in action too. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want to overcome your faith. Most important is the change of mind and attitude toward Jesus, from unbelief and rejection to believing and accepting. True faith in Christ must have confession and forsaking of sin. True repentance and faith can't be separated. They're both dependent upon each other. And again, the just shall live by faith. That verse is so important. It's in the Bible 4 times. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. It's in there 4 times. We're not going to start that sheet on sin. I'm just going to share something else the Lord, well, he showed me a long time ago, but put it on my heart today. It's to go with sin. So if you want to make some notes in what I'm sharing now, write it on the sin sheet. Maybe some of you have heard this before. 6 steps to sin. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in that day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. You know, they knew that they had sinned, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, first of all, 6 steps to sin. Number one, listening to the tempter. She does. She's spending time with this guy, listening to him. All right, maybe she didn't know initially what's going on here, but you do. When he comes to you, do you listen to him? And think of your thoughts. Do you cast it out and move on? Do you pray? Do you, Lord, remove this? Do you get into the word? Or are you just thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it? listening to the tempter. She does. He speaks to her. Number two, tampers with the word. So he said to the woman, "Hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He starts messing with her head. Verse 3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." She's tampering with the word. He didn't say anything about touching it. He didn't. She's tampering with the word. She's getting changed here. We're not to add or subtract anything from the word. She's changing it. Eve adds in verse 3. Satan subtracts in verses 4 and 5. What does he say? "And the serpent said unto her," the woman, "you shall not surely die." You know, that's calling God a liar. That's number 3. She fails to stand for God's character. And you can do that by obedience. Well, God says this in his word. I'm not going to do that. She fails to stand for God's character. Satan will throw a thought into your head like, "Oh, it's only one time. Or it's not that big of a sin. Nobody's looking. It isn't going to hurt anybody. Nobody's going to know." She fails to stand for God's character. No, God did not say it like that. She doesn't do that. She changes it. How about number 4 is look in lust. Just to back up, in verse 5, he says, "For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." Hey, he's holding something back that you need. He's not totally cluing you in on the big picture. He's not letting you know everything. God doesn't hold back anything unless we don't need it. He'll never hold back anything that we need. Step number 4, look in lust. Verse 6, "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food." What did John say? "The lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes," the lust of the eyes, "and a tree to be desired to make one wise," the pride of life. Oh, wow, I want this wisdom. Then maybe I'll be like God. Didn't Satan just go through that? I'm going to be like the Most High. And then the 5th step is to disobey the directive. I'm gone now. I'm disobeying. I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to whatever. Disobey the directive. She does it. She saw it. She desired it. She thought it would help her out, make her wiser and all that, and she does it. She goes for it. And then number 6. I think this is the worst one. "Now you've sinned. You need to stop and repent." Remember when we learned repentance week 1? You need to repent, and you need to have the faith to believe that God will forgive you. So we're following an order. People might say, "Why didn't you start with sin first?" Because I think the number one thing to open the door to the Lord is repentance, right? But we need to know what sin is. Here's number 6, seducing others to sin. Think about it. You've already sinned. Don't drag somebody else in on it too. Seducing someone else. "She gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You know, in 1 Timothy, it talks of she's the one that caved. Satan lured her into sin. Adam literally walked right into it knowing. And people, why did he do that? And there's a lot of reasons to speculate, one of which maybe he didn't want to be without her. Maybe he knew exactly what he was doing, and how are they ever going to keep continuing on in this line? She got Adam to sin. And anyways, steps, I'll say that again. Listening to the tempter, number 1. Tamper with a word, number 2. Fail to stand for God's character. Look in lust. Disobey the directive. And seduce others to sin. And if you look at that, you can see yourself in all of those, can't you? In each one of those. Don't listen to them. Don't change the word even in your mind for a minute, because you're already starting down the wrong road. And well, if you're listening to them and you can't shut it off, you know what? Take measures. Call me. I'll talk with you. I'm being tempted. You know what? Sometimes guys need that. check in on each other. Are you okay? You're not, you know, just the fact that a guy that you're a partner with might call you up and ask you that question might keep you from doing something. Maybe a guy who's a Christian who has a tendency to take a drink. Okay, buddy, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call you every day and ask you, did you have a drink today? It might be exactly what that guy needs to know, that he's going to call me and I can't lie to him. I'm not going to be able to lie to him, so I'm not going to drink so I can tell him, no, I didn't. You know what I mean? Sometimes maybe we need people like that. Do you stand for God's character when the enemy comes at you? You know, do you look in lust? The longer you look in lust, you know, the more it's getting you. It's got you. And last of all, don't, whatever you do, seduce others into sin. Because I think that's just a whole nother sin altogether. Kids are great at that, right? And we're just big kids. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we would continue to build this solid foundation, Lord, that we can really stand on. We do pray increase our faith, but we pray, Lord, that we would sit with you and pray and believe and understand that we need to use our faith. You've given us all the faith we need. We need to use it. We really do. Lord, everything with you is choice. You love us so much, you let us make our own choices. And Lord, that free will choice enables us to make bad choices. And those are always our fault. So Father, I pray, give us that ability to make the right choices. May we make no provision for the flesh, not be lured into these things, and stay in the word, believing, maybe starting to fast once in a while, praying daily, and trusting with all our heart and leaning not on our own understanding, Lord, knowing that you're going to direct all of our paths. If we acknowledge you in everything we do, Lord, we need to put you into the equation, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.